So whatever I have learned in my first few weeks with Nix, and how can I apply it to teach other people in the organization? So it also documents that. So I have tried to create some metaphors, some glossaries, things like that, which I will show you. But how it all started was with this. A colleague of mine, he typed Nix shell. And then after a whirlwind of messages like this later, there was just a shell which was free from pollution, no more works, it works on my machine kind of analogies, and if something breaks, you just exit the shell. It was like pure magic to me, because it was the first time I was not scared to install packages in the system without pollution or without thinking about, oh, it will go wrong, or I will get thousands of error messages. So this is where it all started, and like Alice, I was curiouser and curiouser. Then what I did, I started small. So how do we start small when we try to learn a new technology or a new language? We start with Hello World. So I went back to the basics of Hello World. Hello World actually helped me to understand what is the difference between Nix shell, Nix build, and different kinds of terminologies that you have in the Nix world. For the first time, I wrote a Nix derivation. Although small, just for Hello World, but it still it gave me the confidence to start working with Nix derivations. All those whirlwind of Nix store messages that we just saw in the previous slide, now I got to know what do they actually mean and where they come from. So another thing, I got to know about was like, what does purity actually mean in terms of builds? Earlier, I had no idea or I did not pay too much attention, but this time I saw it in action. With Hello World, I went back in time. So back to 2015. What you see in the background, although not very visible, is the three-dimensional model of a city of Netherlands called Delft. It is created with the help of a software called 3DFire, which is an open source software by TU Delft. It takes nothing but the point cloud data, the 3D LiDAR data, and then transforms it into a three-dimensional model, a semantic model. I worked with it, and installing the dependencies with the conventional methods was a hell, was a nightmare, because it had dependencies of Siegel, GDAL, LastTools, Boost, and also some specific versions. And if you forget one, you will get an error that you are not able to build the software from scratch. With Nix, it was done in 15 minutes. I used the same example of Hello World, and I tried to build on top of it with the dependencies for this tool. Actually, I thought about going back to 2015 and starting again with this. But I couldn't, but at least I got to know, and I saw it in action, that how you can build from a small Hello World example to a real-life software, and then you can actually use it either for your personal projects or at work. So this was something that I tried to do myself, and then as you build on top of it, I went from what's a derivation to let me write one at work. I use Nix again for setting up the environment, this time at work, for a very tiny thing, not that big, but still it's a Gazelle plugin to generate some target definitions in Bazel build file. It's called Ares. I tried to use Nix to set up the environment for development for this tool. And then I also was like, OK, let's go one step ahead. I also tried to use it for building and packaging the final binary. And then I saw it in action, oh, how does my binary lands up in the Nix store? And how I can use it from there? So these were like key aha moments for me. But they also made me do some sort of self-reflection on the learning curve that I had to go through to go from what's a derivation to let me write one at work. And when you do introspection, sometimes you don't do it alone, you do it with the people, right? So you like to verify what you are thinking actually makes sense. Or do other people also think the same? Here, you see the graph of people. So at ASML, we have three build teams. And then I talk to people about what I was thinking for my learning curve. And then I got to know that we have three kinds of users at ASML for next. One, I call them are passive users. I was one of them. And you see them in orange here. These are passive Nix users who do nothing and just do Nix shell on their command line. Then we have some people in the green up top. I call them active Nix experts. Or I should say, I call them Nix listen algaids. And my people in green, the Nix listen algaib, are also here in the room. They're sitting on 1, 2, 3, 4, 4th and 5th row. They helped me a lot in learning what Nix is, and they were always available when I had questions. But you see the people in blue. I call them stuck zone people. And they are the people who start their journey from orange zone to green zone, and it's like a steep jump. I am myself, how should I say this? I'm in stuck plus plus. Yeah. And that's true, actually. I've only learned up till the part of derivations. What are derivations? How can I write one? But still, there are so many topics of Nix which I haven't explored yet. So I would still call myself stuck plus plus. And there are many people like that who are in stuck plus plus in the company. Here you can see only one, I think. Yeah, because this is the data for the build teams. But yeah, it's a very steep jump. And I asked them the questions, like, why do they think it's a steep jump? The first thing they said, oh, I don't understand what the derivations are. I don't understand the language. I don't understand the syntax. So beginners, like it says here, they often try to learn everything at once. But they get overwhelmed by the technology, basically, by the terminology, and also by hard to read messages and outputs and all these kind of things. So what can we do to help them? What can we do to move the people from the stuck zone or from the passive zone to the experts? So here, what worked for me? Hello world, basic examples. Resources, some of the resources like some tutorials, videos that I saw, they are at the end of the slide deck, not really nice to see, but the one that I would like to mention is Awesome Nix. So it's a list of all the things which are Nix related, and you can actually visit the site, and you can actually choose, right, whatever you want to see. It's a big collection. And then having a glossary at hand, nothing fancy-schmancy, the way I call it. No fancy-schmancy, plain English, plain terminology to start with. And yeah. This one is my favorite, metaphors to relate. When you are 4 or 3, you try to make relations between objects, right? That, oh, this is this kind of ball which is used in cricket, or is it a baseball ball, or a soccer ball, like that. You make relations based on the object at hand. So I like to call them metaphors to relate, which you can use even with the technology. And yes, like I mentioned, the last thing, documenting to help the others, like whatever you learn, you document properly. And the help from the listen algaibs of Nix, basically. So, glossary. Why I love glossaries is because you start at the same base. You start with the same common understanding of terminology. And it helps you think, OK, you know the same thing, I know the same thing, we are talking the same language. So that's how they help. And I have started to create a glossary at work for all the next related terms, but no fancy schmancy. Simple terms. Next. Metaphors to relate. Okay, I have a question, just by the show of hand. Can you tell me who of you play video games? How many of you? Yeah, I expected that. I also asked the people at work if they play video games. So this also helped me to draft the metaphors to teach them. Because if you have like 30 minutes of session at work to teach people what next is, what are the concepts, you would like to fully utilize those 30 minutes without overwhelming your peers, basically. So I did nothing special. I'm a 90s kid, so for me, it's all about being retro. I remember the cartridges and the console that I used to play with my dad here, like this. So I tried to explain these concepts in a very simple manner. We start with reproducibility. What is reproducibility? In simple terms, it's your game cartridge, right? You plug and play. You always start with the same game. So it's the same with Nix, right? You always boot the same game, no matter where you play. So as simple as it can be. Next, this is something I think you all could relate with, multiplayer setup. Right? Yes. You save your game settings to a file, and you share it with a friend. You do the same with Nix, right? So it's like shareable configurations, similar concepts. Next. This is my favorite, power-ups. On-demand packages. At work, we have well-defined configuration files. But sometimes I also like to do Nix shell hyphen p my own package. I call them power-ups, although they are not available in the defined configurations which everyone uses, but sometimes you need some. So this is how I explain to people what are those on-demand packages are. Then, yeah, my favorite, Nix store. It's an inventory, right? As simple as it can be. Like every package, every item, every game is stored in an inventory somewhere. So yeah, and yes, because you also have to teach people, yeah, you are learning something, there is a skill tree, it's your learning curve. I know it's steep, but you can make it fun so that everyone starts at the same base, at the same level within an organization. But I know right now I have only talked about these simple definitions. Next one. Configuration files. I know it sounds very silly, but they are spell books, right? Your shell.nix or your flick.nix, it's a spell book. Where do you specify what? Nix derivations, which are your like crafting recipes. It's simple as that. You tell Nix what to build, what are your ingredients, basically your dependencies, and how to build it. And in order to make them more relatable, you start here, which is your hello world. You don't throw people in deep waters at the beginning. You start with hello world, which is very simple. And right now, this is a work in progress. This is what I have learned until now. And I would like to extend this list with more relatable concepts when I move on to flakes or more, basically, one by one. So, reflection on what I have learned so far. With all the experiments that I did, with all the aha moments I had, it was clear that Nix isn't just for like beginners or for experts. It's for everyone. Anyone can start learning with it, even for a small project like Hello World. And I liked how it made all the experiments that I did very painless, repeatable, and fun. I wasn't scared of messing up the environments anymore because I knew I can just do exit. It was as simple as that. But for now, I would say that I have gone from what's a derivation to writing it, to writing one at work / for fun projects, like that. So to newcomers or experienced users, mostly to newcomers like me, I would say that the learning curve is real, but so is the payoff. If I would have known about Next, like in 2015, I would have used it instead of messing up my system, installing the dependencies again and again. One thing I learned from today, after talking to several people here, I talk to people who are beginners like me, who have never used Next like other people, and some of the very expert users who have been here and have given presentation on such advanced topics within Next. So sharing experiences help, and I saw it here today, like I'm standing here as a very beginner, right? And it has given me a platform also to share my experiences with everyone here. So I see how community plays a very important role here in improving the journey of the Next users, whether beginners or whether they're advanced. So I would just say that it was super fun to be here and present this stuff, but if you have more ideas on how to extend the metaphors, the concepts, so that we can make Next more accessible to the users, just please let me know. I'm here today, tomorrow, and not on Sunday. But yeah, this is it. These are the resources that I just mentioned beforehand that helped me. Awesome Next, and to learn the Next language, I used a tour of Next, which is like an interactive way of learning Next functional language. So these are the ones, and then the next is, yeah. That's it from my side, and thank you for listening.
Okay, maybe some quick questions. Who has a question?
Next. It's like, what are these? They contain the same content, right? They look like they appear to me as if they contain the same content, but they're two separate files. Which one is leading and when? So that was very confusing for me initially, but Next documentation, the official documentation, it also helped me in understanding what are the difference between the two, and when you use which one, basically. Thank you.
Okay, last very quick question, okay.
Hi, yeah, thanks for the talk. I saw on one of your slides that you had kind of a table of contents which looked like some very simple headings that would be useful to pass on to people. Is that just an internal thing you're working on? Or?
Is this the one you're talking about?
Yeah, that would be quite useful.
Yeah. Right now, it is an internal one, indeed. I'm not sure if you're going to like open it to the outside of ASML, but I would love to do that. But yeah, I need to check it internally. Thank you.
Okay, that was our last question. Let's give our speaker another round of applause.